Amen. Amen and amen. And thank you, Brother Joe. Perfect timing, like I said in the PM. I just shut down that section of the server to prevent, you know, that the poor man's DOS, as Brother James calls it. All right, if you can heal, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very, very much for blessing us on the Sabbath day with your presence. Thank you for all the trials and the tribulations and the hugs that we received this past week and all the praises that we're going to be sharing after the study that we have experienced over the last 3 months or even few years, because we do have some new people here. And so thank you for blessing us all throughout this service with your presence. Thank you for forgiving us when we fall short and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And thank you also, Father God, for answering our prayers. Even though sometimes it takes a little while to get them answered, we understand. And even when the answer is no, that's okay too. Because we only want to do as you would have us do. So please bless us this Sabbath day with a changing of the showbread. And bless everyone here in attendance, everyone on the radio, everyone on the phone, and everyone that will be listening to these gatherings over the coming months and years. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our King, our Savior, and our Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. And amen. Okay. We left off, let's see, where did we leave off? On question 29, if you're new, I want to welcome Mark 4 and Scotty. If you want to follow along, if you want to follow along, just scroll underneath the chat room, and we're on question number 29. And I just got a PM saying that little Bubs says he loves me. So I love you too. Love you too. And I miss you. Hope to see you soon. And, okay. Let's see. Okay, so we're on question number 29. And the question is, what else does he promise? And this, of course, is leaning heavily on the previous question, which was, even so hath the Lord ordained that who should live of the gospel. And then the answer to that was, of course, in regards to the Levites, you know, the tithes going to the Levites. And then today the full-time minister is more or less the same thing. And then there was a promise, actually, in regards to like when you give to the Lord a tenth. I think I scrolled up too far. Yeah, I did. I scrolled up way too far. There it is. If he'll faithfully return the tithe, and what will God do? And then he blesses you financially and all these other things, as well as spiritually. It's not just money that we do this for. But the answer is, and of course, In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, thank you, Brother Gorin. The answer is, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, the sooner God's people realize that he's not only the creator, he's the owner of absolutely everything, seen and unseen. Everything we have, and this is including our talents, our wisdom, the clothes on our backs, the food in our bellies, the roof over our heads, the air we breathe, and even the pennies in our pockets, all belong to him. And he can demand anything regarding any of that. But he doesn't. He only asks that we give back a small portion of the pennies in our pockets so as to help fund the work that brings more into the fold and is little or as much as we can afford in the love offering so as to help the needy, but or fund church projects, or even pay for some bus bench advertisements to help in the loud cry, which is part of my praise this week. But we'll get to that later, of course. As we learned earlier by the widow with the two mites in one of the earlier studies that we did, as well as all the rich people that were, you know, we didn't only learn from what the widow did, we learned from what all the rich people were doing when they were dumping all their coins into the church coffers. Some give of their abundance, but they feel no lack of anything because they have so much. I mean, think about it. If you're poor and you have $100 and that's all you got, and you give 10 to the Lord and then a couple of dollars for a love offering, it can be, you know, difficult, but not really, because the Lord always replenishes it. But for some, it can be an issue. And therefore, there's the test. That's part of the test. It's all part of trusting Him, too. It's not because the Lord needs money. He doesn't. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can get any of His ministers. He can just dump billions or trillions of dollars on any of them if He wanted to. But no, it's all part of the testing process. And so, but the thing is, so many are concerned about the wrong things. I mean, they put, you know, the blessings that He has promised that are going to be ours for all eternity, they put that on the back burner because of the fancy new car that they're looking at that they want to get. But still, when the poor have only $100 and they give that small amount to tithe, the rich man, let's say he's a millionaire, or he just made $1 million sale, let's say. So he just had a $1 million increase in his life. And if he doesn't give any love offering whatsoever, the tithe is $100,000, right? So if he gives $100,000, that's really not going to hurt him much. He's still got $900,000 left. You can live for quite a while on that kind of money if you stay humble, if you stay in the place where the Lord would have you originally. Because you never know, you could even be a Nicodemus, for that matter, you know. Because a lot of people, when they make in all sorts of millions and millions and millions of dollars, they start buying, you know, $10, $15, $20 million mansions. When, I mean, what I think is, it's so, that's all a pride issue when you think about it, because I don't care if you're 7 foot tall. You can only live in so much space, I mean, at one time. And so when I look at some of these mansions, like with Kenneth Copeland, for example, he's not even a tall man to begin with. But not only is his mansion massive and the amount of land around it, he has his own airport, or landing strip, if you will. But he has an airport because he's got a fleet of planes. But still, when I see some of these mansions, and there's one that's out in Illinois, near a small town called Rankin, and it's way on the top of a hill, and it kind of looks like it could have been a seminary or a healing center or something like that, because it's kind of a boxy looking thing, and you can only see it from a distance. I've never driven up to the place, and it looks to be well over 150, 200 year old, all brick and loaded with windows, and I'm thinking, okay, if I live there, am I going to one day, you know, spend time in the blue room and then, you know, stay there a week or two and then go to the red room for a week or two? I mean, there's all that space is really just a waste of it, when all that money that was wasted on that massive building could have been used to help others, you know, be it spiritually or just plain physically. So they don't feel any lack. It is these that do not practice self-sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Yes, they may give much more than most people do, but they hold on to all that remains, just like Ananias and Sapphira did with a white knuckle grip. And the Lord reached their hearts, because it was obvious why Ananias and Sapphira did what they did, because they were a little confused. Like, what if this Christianity thing doesn't really pan out? And we'll have a little bit stashed on the side just in case it doesn't work out. You know, that's, you know, there was real no faith. They just, why they even bothered to join the church in the first place is confusing to me, but, you know, still. And I'm not saying that we need to sell all we have. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible says. There's no sin in being rich. No, there's no sin at all. But if the Holy Spirit is moving the person to give more for the work and they refuse, even though it's just a drop in a bucket compared to what they'll still have left over after giving, then they're going to be judged accordingly. Because the Lord reads the hearts. You know, like, for example, you could be a rich man, give your 10% and give it like a small pittance of a love offering because you feel like, you know, it's not necessary at this time. And the Lord reads your heart and you realize, and he realizes that you really don't get it. So he's not going to judge you. You're only judged by the light you're given. But if you're holding back because you like a miser, you like to count the money, you like to pile it up, you like to keep it growing. And it's like pulling teeth to pull a coin off the pile and give it to someone. But then he reads your heart there too. It's obvious what has become your God, and it is your money. So the motive by which we give is put in writing by the angel with the inkhorn. They may not lose their reward, but they may lose a blessing or two. Worse yet, they may be tempted like Ananias and Sapphira and literally die in the doorway, because some people do have that issue in heart. You know, they do worship the money more than he that gave them the money. And when it comes to those that aren't rich, there's no sin in being poor either. I mean, those who have less cannot excuse themselves from the task at hand any more than those that have plenty. Because the Lord knows what you have, and he knows what he set up in advance regarding the tithe. And it's not going to be an issue. I mean, the widow with the two mites proved that. She didn't drop dead the next day of starvation. We are all to do all we can with what we have. Nothing more, nothing less. And yes, it may mean we would have to deny ourselves of something we can actually do without in the first place, so as to practice self-sacrifice for the cause of God. I don't know how many times. One of my sons I used to work with, he used to hate it when we would stop at Best Buy on the way back from work, because it was a two-hour drive, and we'd stop there and have lunch and then head home, and or dinner or whatever the case may be. And I'd stop at Best Buy, and I would talk myself out of buying things. Because I figure I really don't need that. Okay, I'd love to have that. It really would be a fun computer toy, if you will. But do I really need it? You know. And and I'm not the only one that does that either. I know a lot of you are like that, and that's good. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So, but because we have to learn self-sacrifice. I've yet to see the blessing forfeited upon those that obey in this manner. As Jesus illustrated, like the poor widow did that day, we are to cast in the two mites, because in so doing, we actually give more than those who give of their abundance, that feel no loss or no lack in doing so. I mean, basic spiritual reality here is how many of us have experienced heartfelt joy when giving to someone in need? You know, we've all heard the saying, it's better to, you know, give than to receive, right? I mean, it's fun to get a gift and stuff like that, but it really does. I don't know how to explain it. None of you can either, I'm sure. But it really makes your heart well up with a little bit more joy when you give something to someone they needed, something that they needed. So, yeah, it's just part of being a Christian, obviously, you know. And even before you're a Christian, some of us, you know, remember that. And so when we do that, we're laying all sorts of treasures up in heaven. Because up there, they're not going to rot and corrode. Down here, I don't care how many tens of billions or trillions of dollars you have. You know, that brand new car is eventually going to turn into a pile of rust, eventually. That brand new building you build is eventually going to topple over. Everything gets old. And all the parents among us need to instill this in our children. This is a Christian action of self-sacrifice. Then they need to learn that so as to build up a solid foundation in Christ, wherein later in their lives, they will do the same with their children. You know, like the Bible says, when you train them when they're young, they're not going to forget it when they get old. Learning how to give up a toy or not being able to go to a certain fun place because you choose to help a needy kid can bless the heart of children in ways that will follow them their entire lives. I mean, after all, giving of one's self will make it that much easier for them to understand how Jesus gave his life for them later when they are called to make that decision, when they come to the age of accountability to accept him as Savior. I mean, every step in that direction must be well paved so as to help our children see the importance of making that decision. But all too often, some kids, I remember, and these kids were close to me. I never mention who they are, but the family knows who I'm talking about. But I know of these three young men. I think when they were in their, you know, their teens, their mid-teen years, they thought that Jesus Christ was just a swear word. Because whenever they heard his name, it was said in anger, like a swear word. You know, that's sad. Those parents failed in their duty. What many of us have also witnessed is that when we give like this, the Lord always refills the hand. You know? And that's why I always like to mention, like when Pastor Craig, for example, our main missionary, if you will, whenever Pastor Craig has a need, and I want to thank you all, by the way, for helping him. You know, we were able to make sure that gathering that they're going to have is going to be funded. I mean, the people there were able to help out. I guess some of you must have helped out. And then, you know, I'll just leave it at that. But the thing is, it's going to bring more souls into the faith, of course. But it really is a joy to give, especially when it's for proper Christian purposes. And that's why I always like to mention when someone else needs something. I never, ever ask for a donation from my family or the ministry at all, ever. Won't do it. I ask my Father in heaven, because if I'm in a church that's filled with real Christians, like I believe I am, you don't have to talk about stuff like that. You don't have to pass a plate. Like in the old days, there'd be a box in the back of the church, and then you give your tithe and your love there. And that's not to say I won't mention the tithe, this actual Bible study, lesson number 27, that's all it's about is the tithing. And it has affected some people, because some people that have been with us for quite some time, that aren't even members yet, but they have been joining with us recently, have started to understand this now. And without even asking them, they begin to give. And that's why my original point in all this was, I know mostly, I'm usually the first one to know when the missionary work, be it Pastor Craig or anybody else that we help, I'm usually the first to know when someone's in need in that respect. And I like to bring their need to the church family, because I know how the Lord always refills the hand. And he always gives you more than you gave. Like if you give 100, you're going to get 150, 200, or even 1,000 back or something. I'm not going to preach a prosperity sermon like these TV preachers. That's not my point. My point is, I like to let the church family know so that you can get the blessing. It's not, I'm sure we have a church fund. We have a needy fund, and we do use that. But it's always nice to let the church family know, you want an extra blessing? Help in this area or help in that area. And don't worry if you can't. It's not a problem either. If you don't have the means by which to do it, don't worry. It's not a problem. We have a church fund. So we do have some money in there. So, still, I like to let the church family know, because I don't want to be the only one that's getting the blessings. I mean, many, many years ago we started doing that, and so I'm not the only one getting the blessings now. And so, praise his name. But the refilling of the hand, it may not come right away. And it may even take months. But eventually, a blessing will be reaped in every area of promise. In fact, I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that that's the reason we have the motorhome. You know, you try to save, but that's just too expensive. But still, I tried to save. And then every time I got a couple of bucks in there, you know, we had to do something for the Lord. And so that's fine. And then, boom, he just dumped that thing in our laps. But it's not just the money. That's a tool, actually. It's not even money. In fact, the tool was given. He'll give you more wisdom. He'll give you more faith. He'll give you more free time. He'll give you more peace. And yes, even more money if you need it. So has to do even more for the Lord. As many of us have testified over the years, is the end result of obeying his will, wherein the promise is always 100% realized and 100% confirmed each and every time. So, just as the Lord grants some of us with more understanding because he knows he can trust us to share with others, he also gives more into our finances, knowing he can trust us to do more for him with that money in the work. And just let me, come on, this is testimony Sabbath. And so, some of us actually have a lot of testimonies and a lot of blessings because, you guessed it, he knows you'll be vocal about it. He knows you'll tell as many as you can about it. He knows you'll glorify him. And this is one of the reasons people get their prayers answered so quickly. I mean, take for example, and sometimes you don't find out about that truth until years later, like the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. Remember her? She didn't realize that she had to acknowledge Christ. She had to share her faith with others before he would, you know, answer her prayer. Because he knew if he healed her, she would just, you know, run off into the, you know, like they say in the old movies, just travel out to the sunset and never see him again. No. He wanted her to acknowledge him. And it was obvious she was a little shy, right? She was shy to speak in front of a crowd. And guess what happened? He put her in a crowd. To the point where she had no choice. And then she finally said that he is, you know, who he is. She finally acknowledged him and her healing. And he's, you know, he blessed her with that. You know, because, see, this is one of the reasons some prayers aren't answered, is because the person that's praying has no plans of letting others know what God did for them. Or even has done for them since that day, too. So, this is why, by the way, Nicodemus was a rich man. The Lord knew he could trust him to finance the young church when it started. Had it not been for his obedient actions, the spreading of the gospel may have been crippled. Well, obviously the Lord would have picked somebody else, but could you imagine if it all rested on the shoulders of Nicodemus? We wouldn't be here today if that's how the Lord planned it. If he says, okay, I got one guy and one guy alone. If he messes up, well, then that's it. Christianity's going to die at that moment. So, and but still, it makes me think, what if Nicodemus did refuse? What if there were 10 Nicodemuses before him that did refuse? You know, because that we know how that works too. We've seen it in our own lives with some of the people in our own church family, and we've seen it in history, especially in the pioneers of the Ninth Hour Church. We've seen how some people were called and shirked their duty, and then others were called to do that duty. And they were really blessed by it. But still, if Nicodemus wasn't obedient The gospel may have been crippled, but then even here we see the glory of God's hand and how it moves, because if Nicodemus refused, the Lord would have financially blessed somebody else with the finances, because the Lord is not going to give up on us. And there's always somebody standing in the and standing in line, you know. So, I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I don't want to go into the next one because it's a little long and I only got like 2 minutes left. But this, and I also want to comment on the guy with the bigger barn still. Anyway, I mean, look what he did. Kind of like the modern day miser where he kept stacking up his goods. What happened to him? He died. And all that stuff that was in his barns, I mean, he thought he was going to eat, drink, and be merry. No. After he filled those barns, he laid down. That was it. Somebody else took all that. So, be back in a minute.